Why is Jamal down about 80 touches from this point a season ago?
I guess we're not giving him the ball enough. I mean, that, you know, that thing is too, is we're using more backs. You know, we've used him more as a receiver. Some
his receptions are down like 30.
Yeah, it's down too. You know, they're down too, and it's, you know, these last couple of games we've gotten into situations where we've gotten behind, and you play catch up, so you end up throwing the ball. So touches are going to go down to some of your key guys, and that has something to do with not getting him the ball.
Not that they weren't paying more attention to him earlier, but are they doing different things defensively to kind of quell what he is and what he does?
Not really. I mean, teams are still going to, you know, blitz his alignment and try to hold him in protection. You know, teams are obviously, I mean, they, you know, they know 25 is one of our better offensive players, and so when you can eliminate your best player, then you know, advantage defense. So teams know that going in, and you know, Jamal knows that, and each week he's got to come ready to play, and again, we've got to, as a staff offensively and as a coordinator, I have to, you know, allow him to touch the football as often, you know, as we can.
You mentioned a couple of weeks ago, sometimes you get caught up and forget that he's down there. How do you do a better job of not forgetting?
Well, you just, it's all based on the personnel on your call sheet, how you set things up in certain situations, who do you want to focus on. You know, each week we go, when you game plan, you always look at your top four or five assets on offense, and you try to put a plan together that can benefit those four or five guys. So he's part of that group, and each week, you know, you only got one football, but at the same time, we also know the defenses are scheming him up just a little bit, and when they do that, then hopefully Alex understands that and finds another one of those targets.
On the offensive line, you guys have had some really good performances this year for those guys, obviously, but you've also had some performances like you had against Denver. Why do you think the shift from when they do well to when they're not doing so well is so drastic?
Well, I think a lot of times with those guys, you know, I say it kind of every week or every couple of weeks. You know, everything starts up front with Rodney and the communication, and you know, it's a matter of those guys understanding either the run or the protection at that particular time. Kind of know it comes through your film study, you know, during the week, and it comes through understanding leverage of a defensive lineman, linebacker, safety, corner. And understand, kind of anticipating a move, you know, and you know, our guys this past week, I mean, it was just, you know, 58 and 94 are all pro, you know, pass rushers, and those are dominant forces, and they have done a good job. We expect them to bounce back this week and get right back on point.
What you mentioned this week against Arizona. What do you look at in Arizona and see we can do this week against that?
Well, you know, one thing that Arizona does, I think, that what other teams maybe don't do is they're going to line up five guys, you know, with their hand in the dirt and rush the passer and play their game. So, you know, it becomes one-on-one matchups this week with your offensive line, and they have to be sharp with that, and then they have to, you know, pass off the games. And I mean, it's no different really each week, but, you know, this is a good group on defense. It's another good pass rushing group. You know, we've had our share of good fronts, and they're in the last four, five, 6 weeks, and you know, our guys will bounce back. I mean, they're professionals, and they take their job with pride, and anybody does, and you know, they'll bounce back and be fine.
You saw Alex get speared on that late hit, man. You know, 20 years ago, back when you were playing. Does that
easy.
With that, that's,
you know, back 2004.
The game was different then. I get it, but like, would that have provoked like a more like visceral response, like a more obvious response, or was it always, you know, game situation?
You know, in 98. I broke my jaw. I gotta remember what it was. Monday Night Football. And against the Vikings, mm-hmm. And I broke my jaw. It was a helmet-to-helmet deal, you know, left side. The DB got fined, you know, and nothing. I mean, from that standpoint, the fact that they're protecting the quarterback, I mean, those things usually get flagged. You know, back then, maybe they don't get flagged quite as much back then. But you know, with the now, you know, protecting the quarterback as much as they do in the pocket with either hands or helmet to helmet or whatever to the face area, the head area. I think it's a little more brought to light, so to speak, now than it was 10 years ago.
When the DB broke your jaw, like, were there any guys on your team who were like, man?
Well, they didn't know. I mean, they didn't know. You didn't know until after the game, so it didn't.
I get what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't until after the game.
So how do you, like, because I know, linemen sometimes have that idea of street justice, you know. How do they decide, you know, when to get a guy back or if to get a guy back? Like, what does it come down to?
You know, I don't think there's anything about getting a guy back. I think guys understand that, hey, they took a shot on our quarterback. Let's just come back and play football, and let's not let that happen again. And again, it goes back to the guys being prideful and protecting the quarterback. So there's nobody out there saying, hey, we got to get so-and-so or anything like that. There's none of that going on.
Doug, I just want to make sure that it's kind of hard to hear. Talking about Jamal earlier, that because the conditions of the game, the score, tell you what it was, it kind of got away from him. How do you ever get away from him, considering his skills of passing game and the running game? There shouldn't be anything to get away from him.
Yeah, the only thing that gets you away from him is the defense. The fact that if they're gonna blitz him, blitz his alignment, which teams have done, it keeps him in. It keeps him in, and then it takes him out of that particular play at that particular time. Where we do a better job is we use different protections. We line him up in different spots. 13 becomes a little more important in certain situations, which will free up Jamal. Kind of the things you saw earlier in the season, kind of in mid-season there, where Jamal was getting all those touches. Those are the things we have to get back to.
With Jamal, because of his, he's your best blocker as far as picking up the blitz. He's shown that for the last couple of years. When you're facing a team like Denver that's showing you a lot of extra people coming, does that make you a little wary of taking him out of the backfield and putting him split or wide?
Well, it does. I mean, you definitely want to utilize his ability out of the pocket as well. Then again, it sort of puts the onus back on Nile Davis or, you know, Trekendrick West, the guys that are taking that spot. Could be a tight end in there, you know, Sherm. And so you kind of give up something to get something. And, you know, the number one thing in any passing game is your protection and protecting your A and B gaps. And like you said, he's a very good pass blocking back, and you know, again, we've got to utilize that when we can.
A couple things. First, I know you're obviously aware of who's in the game at all times. I know that, but how many times do you get to an end of a game and maybe you look at a play, a snap count sheet, or even the stat sheet, and you were surprised? Hey, we used this guy more than we thought we did, or we didn't use this guy as much as we. Do you ever get in a situation like that at the end of a game?
Yeah, you look at that stat sheet, and you look at the targets, you look at the number of touches that guys get, and then you go back and you kind of replay the game in your mind, and you know, you're going to go back and say, oh, I wish I would have done this, or I wish I would have done that, or more of that, more of this, less of that, you know, after the game, win or lose. But yeah, you take a look at that, and you go, you know what, we should have given Dwayne two more targets, or, you know, given Jamal two more, three more touches, you know, in a certain situation. But again, it you know, the game, as the game unfolds, it sort of dictates how you spread the ball around. And, you know, it's unfortunate that sometimes guys' touches are going to go down or up based on game situation.
The other thing is you had a new wide receiver playing for you the other night, plus Avery playing for the first time in months. What'd you think of those guys?
I thought they did a nice job. You know, I mean, Donnie just getting back in there and shaking a little bit of the rust off for him and getting back into that game mode. I thought he did a good job for what we asked him to do. And then, you know, Jason, just a savvy veteran guy that's familiar and comfortable with the things we're doing offensively. I thought had wasn't in there a ton, but when he was in there, he was effective and had a couple catches. So, you know, we expect better things again this week.
Coach, you've kind of gotten away from the three tight end set since Demetrius Harris was injured and Fasan was injured. You're bringing back a guy like Richard Gordon. What is this going to help you on the offense?
Well, I think a guy like Richard, again, a veteran guy. He's a smart guy. He's been in our system here recently. And, it will allow us to get back to the three tight end set a little bit. We've used Anthony Sherman a little bit in that situation. So the more he gets comfortable and the more he hears our offense again, the more we can get him in a ball game.